CBS News, I'm Rob Armstrong. Two major and significant stories today, a crash on Wall Street and the U.S. strikes back in the Persian Gulf. First, the story on Wall Street. The final numbers still are not in because the computers are so far behind, but the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped more than 500 points on astounding volume of about 604 million shares. Jay Goldinger is with the firm Cantor Fitzgerald in Beverly Hills, California.
This is as severe as 1929 because there's more money on the line. Pension plans were hurt today, state pension plans, individual IRAs and KIAs. Today's decline in the stock market hurt almost every investor in the world.
Because of the turmoil on Wall Street, the Pacific Stock Exchange closed early, and the chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission said he is very concerned about the plunge in the stock market. President Reagan kept an eye on Wall Street today, and Jacqueline Adams says the White House is trying to put the best face on the bad situation.
President Reagan kept a close watch on the stock market today, and according to his spokesman, Marlon Fitzwater, he watched the continued drop in the market today with concern. The president did direct members of his administration to consult with leaders of the investment community, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the New York Stock Exchange, and those consultations confirmed the White House view that the underlying economy remains sound. Marlon Fitzwater, in a statement, listed the high points of the economy. He said we're in the longest peacetime expansion in history. Employment is up. Manufacturing output is up. The trade deficit is improving. And there's no evidence of a resurgence of inflation. So the White House view, despite the over 500-point drop in the stock market, is that the economy is strong.
Nonetheless, the decline in stock prices was worldwide. Record losses were recorded in Tokyo, Hong Kong, Sydney, Paris, and London, and those markets closed long before the Wall Street close, with analysts predicting that the sell-off will continue tomorrow. The U.S. hits back at Iran. That story when CBS News continues.
The Wall Street Journal presents The Proposal.
Hello?
Mary Lou?
Yes?
It's me.
Who?
Bucky.
Bucky?
Bucky Roberts. You remember me?
Barely.
Listen, there's something I've been meaning to ask you for a long, long time.
What is it, Bucky?
Will you marry me?
No.
I don't want you to make a hasty decision. I want you to think about
no.
it. No. No, you don't have to think about it?
No, I don't want to marry you.
Why not?
Number one, I haven't talked to you in 15 years.
What's number two?
I never liked you when I did talk to you.
How?
Bucky, how did you find me?
The Wall Street Journal.
The Wall Street Journal?
Yeah, I read that story about how you masterminded that corporate merger.
You read the Wall Street Journal?
Sure. Why wouldn't I read the Wall Street Journal? It's lively, well-written.
Because you were always a dull, uninformed dunderhead.
Oh, not anymore. I read the Wall Street Journal every day. Personal finance, who's news, international coverage, everything.
Well, good for you, Bucky. Yeah. It sounds like it really turned yourself around.
So will you?
Will I what?
Marry me.
No, of course not.
Give me one good reason.
I'm already married.
Give me another reason.
My husband's worth $30 million.
That's a good reason.
The Wall Street Journal, the daily diary of the American dream.
The United States struck back in the Persian Gulf today. Navy ships destroyed one Iranian oil platform and seized another, destroying weapons and taking intelligence documents. The actions were in response to Friday's attack on a Kuwaiti tanker flying the U.S. flag. 16 people were hurt in that missile attack. The Reagan administration said it hopes this is the end of it and that Iran will realize that any attacks it may stage will be met with a considered U.S. reaction. In Iran, there is anger.
We condemn all these acts of aggression launched by the United States that has opened an all-out war against my country.
Saeed Rajai Khorasani, Iran's ambassador to the United Nations. On Capitol Hill, the reaction to the U.S. attack on the Iranian oil platform was generally favorable, and from Moscow, the Soviet news agency TASS called it military adventurism. More stories from CBS News after this.
Now Tidy Cat 3 is a hard-working cat box filler. Oh, Tidy Cat 3. When you go,
One.
It deodorizes better.
Two.
Absorbs like a real go-getter.
Three.
Leaves no dust, no tracks around. Tidy Cat 3.
I'm Ed Lowe. My Tidy Cat 3 is 99% dust-free, so it's cleaner and healthier for your cat. And with my Tidy Cat 3 cat box liners, you may never have to wash your cat box again.
Adam, I need something different for my body.
Eve, there's nothing wrong with those fig leaves.
No, Adam, I mean a multivitamin. Within.
Within?
It's called Within, the multivitamin with the most calcium, plus extra iron and essential vitamins a woman needs within.
Well, Eve, some needs are different, but just remember your one basic need.
Adam, just remember, this is paradise, not fantasy land.
Within from One A Day. As different from other multivitamins as women are different from men.
Some other stories in brief. New York subway gunman Bernhard Goetz was sentenced to 6 months in jail and 5 years probation for illegal possession of a handgun. He was acquitted of attempted murder charges in connection with the 1984 shooting of four black teenagers on a subway train. Doctors say they are encouraged after another operation on little Jessica McClure. She spent 2 days trapped in a well in Midland, Texas last week. Her foot suffered vascular damage during the ordeal. And to recap, nobody's ever seen a day like this on Wall Street in still incomplete figures. The Dow and Industrials down about 508 points, volume 605 million shares, gold up $10.10.
CBS News, I'm David Jackson. Wall Streeters, investors around the world are shaking their heads, wondering what happened to the markets today. They've been closed in New York for 2 hours, the tape running so far behind that only now are the final figures coming out, all records. The Dow Industrial Average down 508.32 to 1738.5. New York Exchange volume 605 million shares. The losers versus gainers ratio phenomenal, 43 to 1. Late today, on his way from the White House to visit First Lady Nancy at the hospital, President Reagan offered his first public comment of the day, saying things really are not all that bad.
I think everyone is a little puzzled because, and I don't know whether what meaning it might have, because all the business indices are up. There is nothing wrong with the economy.
Perhaps, Mr. Reagan says, people were taking profits. He points to good news. Deficit down, inflation no big problem, manufacturing up, jobs more than ever. Still, today the Dow lost more than 20% of its value, far more than the nearly 13% it lost on October 28, 1929. That was called Black Monday. There are new names for today, and on the street, Walt Wheeler of CBS radio station WCBS has one of them.
Exchange executives don't normally comment on market conditions. That beg off, arguing that they provide a neutral marketplace that it's up to brokers to do analysis. So it was a bombshell when New York Exchange Chairman John Phelan called this record day's events as close to a meltdown as he'd ever want to see.
What is meltdown? Meltdown, you know, when you have an atomic pile and Chernobyl, that kind of a meltdown. Well, this is the same kind of a thing. A meltdown is a kind of like a snowballing effect, a waterfall effect, in which one thing begats another.
Not that Wall Street is going to be a radioactive wasteland, said Phelan, but no, he doesn't know where or when it's all going to end. Walt Wheeler for CBS News, New York.
Persian Gulf update when CBS News continues in a minute.
I thought she went back to school.
You tired, sweetheart?
Oh, great, you're still here.
How could you do that to me?
I don't know what happened. Just suddenly all the voices in the living room got so loud. So I panicked, but I couldn't get away from the voices.
Monday night, Nancy McKeon is tormented by strange voices. Valerie Harper is her mother, trying to hold a family together against desperate odds.
How are we going to deal with it? How?
Strange Voices, Monday at 9, 8 Central and Mountain on NBC.
Just wish the voices would go away.
Adam, look at my skin, my bones. We're very different.
But Eve, you do have my rib.
Seriously, Adam, as woman, I need more. I need Within.
Within?
It's called Within, the multivitamin with zinc for the skin and the most calcium, plus extra iron and essential vitamins a woman needs within.
Adam, you do realize how different we are.
Eve, I'm naked, not blind.
Within from One A Day. As different from other multivitamins as women are different from men.
President Reagan this afternoon defended U.S. military action in the Persian Gulf today. U.S. warships fired on and destroyed an Iranian oil platform that Mr. Reagan says Iran was using for much more than oil.
It was a command and control tower with radar and the ability to track shipping through the Gulf. And so we thought that it was an appropriate and proportionate response to their missile attack on a freighter which wounded some of our people.
A U.S. commandos also boarded an abandoned oil rig and destroyed weapons and communications gear. Then they left. The Iranians say they will retaliate. They say the U.S. should now consider itself in a full-fledged Persian Gulf war. The president doesn't see it quite that way.
No, we're not going to have a war with Iran. They're not that stupid.
The American action in the Gulf drew widespread support from American allies and in Congress, though some Democrats are now pressing harder than ever before for invocation of the War Powers Act. The man known as New York subway vigilante Bernard Goetz was sentenced today on a weapons charge stemming from his shooting of four black men 3 years ago, 6 months in jail, 5 years probation, and psychiatric counseling. A Wall Street recap when CBS News continues after this.
Sir, I'm so excited. I just got a bonus.
A bonus? From who?
IBM, and it's a big bonus.
How big?
$2,500.
$2,500?
$2,500 credit when you qualify for an IBM personal credit card and buy a personal system, too, before December 31st.
Oh.
Payments don't start till next year.
You don't say.
I do. And if you buy a Model 25 or 30, you get 16 free programs.
Uh-huh.
So now I can do extra work at home. Then maybe I'll get a bigger Christmas bonus.
Uh-oh.
The IBM year-end bonus. See your participating dealer for details.
I'm still paying off college loans, so a new car's out. Bought a friend's 81 Escort instead. Warranty was expired, but I got this pleasant surprise. The lifetime guarantee. If I pay for a covered repair at my Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer, I never have to pay for it again, parts or labor, for as long as I own the car. Wonder why no one else does that. Aren't they sure about their work or their cars or something?
For your copy of the Lifetime Guarantee, see a participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer.
The final stock numbers, the Dow Industrials down 508.32 at 1738.5. Big board volume, 605 million. Average price per share down $6.99 on the New York Exchange, down $1.81 on the American. David Jackson, CBS News.
CBS News, this is Mitchell Krause. On Wall Street, they're calling it Black Monday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average plummeted over 500 points, almost twice the percentage drop that triggered the stock market crash in 1929. The Dow closed at 1738, with volume at nearly 605 million shares. President Reagan said people should not panic over the market's fall because, in his words, all the economic indicators are solid. But why did it happen?
It's basically a carry-through, technical carry-through from the last week. Just keep selling it. People are extremely nervous. It's panic selling. I don't know how much is margin selling. Just people don't want to know. They just want to be out. Prices are relatively unimportant.
Arthur Frumkes, floor trader on the New York Stock Exchange. But the New York exchanges weren't the only ones sent reeling by this record nosedive. Jerry Laird from CBS radio station KNX in Los Angeles reports.
The Pacific Stock Exchange normally stays open a half hour after the New York close, but the Pacific hung up its spurs at the same time as New York today. The market makers here not wanting the sole weight of trying to keep trading going with the limited capital available on this much smaller exchange. The crash and the heavy trading strained the capital resources of even the huge New York traders today. Some of the late sell orders on the Pacific Exchange may have been lost in the electronic trading system, and some panicked sellers who thought they got out late today may have to try again tomorrow. Jerry Laird for CBS News at the Pacific Stock Exchange in Los Angeles.
The stock market's plunge set ripples through the oil industry. Oil prices fell 42 cents a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange, wiping out early gains sparked by the U.S. attack in the Persian Gulf this morning. More on that when CBS News continues in 1 minute.
If you're one of the many investors who are disappointed with today's yields, then please listen to this. At McLaughlin Piven, United States government guaranteed Ginnie Mae's are yielding 10.75% daily. Not for only 6 to 9 months, but for the life of the bond. With Ginnie Mae's, you receive a regular monthly check guaranteed by the United States government for interest in a portion of your principal. You earn your 10.75% interest rate from the day you invest until the day you sell, and most importantly, your 10.75% interest rate cannot be reduced, regardless of how low interest rates may drop. No investment with the full United States government guarantee will pay you more. So, if you're disappointed with today's yields, please call McLaughlin Piven Collect at 1-800-421-2040. That's 1-800-421-2040 for a 10.75% government guarantee Ginnie Mae. Remember, call McLaughlin Piven for a 10.75% Ginnie Mae at 1-800-421-2040.
Iran says the U.S. is now embroiled in a full-fledged war and vows retaliation for this morning's attack on Iranian oil platforms in the Persian Gulf. Iran's president said the U.S. attack will not go unanswered, while the head of the Iranian War Information Headquarters says the U.S. will receive a crushing response. U.S. Navy destroyers demolished one of Iran's oil platforms. Navy commandos later boarded another platform, destroying communications and radar equipment before leaving it. The attack has renewed debate on Capitol Hill about invoking the War Powers Act. That law requires the president to report to Congress within 48 hours if U.S. forces are in imminent danger. Democratic Senator Christopher Dodd of Connecticut said it would be to President Reagan's advantage to invoke the act.
I think he makes a political mistake by not invoking the act because, frankly, I think he'd get a strong political expression of support. And I think that kind of an expression could also be an important signal to Iran that the United States, by and large, was supportive of the decision to be militarily present in the Persian Gulf.
World opinion on the attack. The British government voiced support for the assault, saying it was restrained, and the U.S. had been more than patient with Iran, but the Soviet news agency TASS condemned the attack, saying it would bring no political dividends to the Reagan administration. It's 6 months in jail for subway gunman Bernard Goetz, sentenced today in connection with the 1984 shooting of four black youths on a New York subway in 1984. Besides the jail term, Goetz will receive 5 years on probation and perform 20 hours of community service. He'll also undergo psychiatric counseling. The perjury trial of former White House aide Michael Deaver began in Washington today with jury selection. It may take quite a while for that process to be completed. CBS News continues after this.
A message for employers from the INS.
The new immigration law requires employers to hire only U.S. citizens or aliens authorized to work. We're asking you to make a good faith effort to verify the work eligibility of all employees hired after November 6, 1986, and to have available a completed I-9 form for each of them. For more information on employer responsibilities, call 1-800-777-7700.
Paid for by the Immigration and Naturalization Service.
The totally new Buick Regal. There's nothing like it on the American road.
Out on the horizon, the heart of a Buick, the start of a regal new day.
The great American love was made for Regal.
It's a Regal reward, it's the way it should be in this regal American land. The great American rug belongs to Buick.
Doctors in Midland, Texas are cautiously optimistic they can save the right foot of 18-month-old Jessica McClure, rescued last week after 3 days in an abandoned well. And Nancy Reagan is making a swift recovery from breast cancer surgery 2 days ago. She's taking phone calls and seeing visitors. She may stay in the hospital from 5 to 7 days, but doctors say she's ahead of schedule and may be out sooner. Mitchell Krause, CBS News.
Is this stock market teetering on the brink of collapse or what? Is the United States steaming into a war? Now, these are not the sort of uncertainties with which most of us care to begin our week. If it's any comfort, these self-ascribed experts assure us that no, we are not in imminent danger of either war or another Great Depression. But ultimately, the answers to both those questions depend on just how far things go. At the stock market, that is a measure judged by points and sales volumes. But out in the perilous gulf, there is no simple yardstick. The difference between war and peace is, like beauty, largely in the eye of the beholder. Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger called today's attack a measured and appropriate response to what he called Iran's unprovoked missile attack last week on a U.S.-flagged Kuwaiti tanker. There is little question that this was a relatively cautious retaliation. The Iranians aboard the platforms were, for example, warned of the attack in plenty of time to abandon the facilities. The non-producing oil rigs, bases for surveillance and small boat attacks on Gulf shipping, were not major military targets. Some suggest that the Iranians got off too easily. Others fear that each shot we fire pulls us deeper into a war we're already too close to. Over the weekend, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee released a detailed analysis of the Persian Gulf War. This report was completed before either the Iranians' attack on the reflagged Kuwaiti tanker or today's retaliation. The report concludes, however, that Iraq is losing the Gulf War, that the U.S. presence in the area hasn't changed the odds, and that instead of pushing the two sides toward the bargaining table, the current Reagan policy is placing the U.S. at risk of deeper involvement in this grueling war. If we take the position in line of fire, the report suggests, we are bound to have to shoot back now and then, despite our proclamations of neutrality. The United States and Kuwait are viewed as allies of Iraq now. And the more Iraq attacks Iranian shipping, warns this Senate report, the more likely that we will be the target of Iranian retaliation. In his Gospels, Matthew wrote that, "With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Such, too, are the realities of war, measure for measure, until somebody runs out of bullets or men or will." Secretary Weinberger says the United States is not at war, but he warns that the U.S. is prepared to meet future Iranian escalation with, quote, stronger retaliation. In other words, if there is a next time, Iran won't get off so easily. But then again, will we? The rules of war are a lot like those of the stock market. And wisdom is, never venture something you are not willing to lose. Now, please, this message.
Hey, like, where's the party, man?
What?
Some Elson dude said I'd find a party here.
At your FTD florist?
Uh-huh.
Oh, you mean the new Celebrate Bouquet?
Yeah.
Turns any occasion into a celebration.
Like a really awesome party or what?
Party with bright flowers and a colorful ceramic bowl.
But, like, where's the band? You know, tunes?
The Celebrate Bouquet also has a fun box filled with streamers, balloons, and...
Hey, that Olsen dude really knows how to party. Ow!
Totally. The Celebrate Bouquet. Ask your florist to send one FTD.
Dan Rather reporting, CBS News.
CBS News, I'm David Jackson. The United States went to the United Nations. Ambassador Vernon Walters defending today's shelling of Iranian oil platforms in the Persian Gulf as legitimate self-defense allowed under the UN Charter. It was self-defense, says Walters, because of last Friday's Iranian missile attack on a U.S. flag freighter in Kuwait Harbor. Reaction to the American action around the world, predictable. U.S. allies, including most Arab nations, voiced support for the attack. The Soviet Union calls it armed aggression. In Congress, bipartisan support, but caution from some Democrats, such as Ohio Senator John Glenn.
I think it was a measured response, and I don't disagree with it, but at the same time, I repeat, it shows what a slippery slope we're on over in that area, and it's a textbook case to me of what the War Powers Act was designed to cover.
Dan Raviv in London has been keeping an eye on the Iranian reaction.
The chief spokesman for Iran's war effort, Kamal Harazi, told the Islamic Republic news agency that the United States is now involved in a full-fledged war with Iran. CBS News reached Harazi in Tehran. He spoke of a criminal attack by the Americans.
They are getting really involved. And this is something that Americans have to think about.
An Iranian diplomat here in London, Akhundzadeh Basti, spoke of a provocative and outrageous attack by American cowards.
The action which they called it as a military action, it was a cowardly act. This administration will get a very strong response from Iran.
Iran says an unspecified number of its civilians were wounded in the American attack. There's no word of any deaths. Dan Raviv, CBS News, London.
Men were the breadwinners, and women the bread bakers. But now more and more women are taking the morning train themselves, and the smart ones are taking the Wall Street Journal with them, leaving them better prepared for the special challenges that business reserves for women alone. True, not all women are getting equal pay, but with a journal, at least they can get equal information.
Waiting.
The Wall Street Journal. The Daily Diary of the American Dream.
Wall Streeters are calling today's stock market plunge the Monday massacre. Numerous records set on the downside. The Dow Industrials off 508 to 1738, a decline of almost 23%. Big board volume more than 600 million shares. Floor broker Michael Ritigliano says numbers don't do justice to what happened.
Today are days you try to survive. You don't try to outthink the market. You just try to survive the order flow because it's unrelentless.
President Reagan spoke only of profit-taking, saying there's nothing wrong with the underlying economy. But analyst William Lefebvre looks at the panic selling and lays blame squarely on Reaganomics.
What's been going on the last several years has finally come home to roost. I mean, the fact that this nation has run huge
huge deficits. It's doubled its national debt in 6.5 years or so. It's, suddenly, all of this stuff came to the fore today. It's as if a family ran its affairs the way this government has, by now the car would have been gone, the house would have been gone, and the people would have been on the breadlines.
The chairman of the New York Stock Exchange, John Fellin, says today's drop was a combination of a lot of things.
I think 5 years of a bull market without a correction. I think the rise in the expectations of inflation, whether correct or not correct. I think the increase in interest rates in recent times because of a variety of things, including inflationary expectations, the decline in the dollar, and a variety of other things, the Iran problem, all have come together in a confluence at one point in time that has hit a very nervous market.
Investor eyes will now be on the overnight markets in Asia and Europe heading for tomorrow's opening bell in New York. More CBS News after this.
Listen to the sounds of CBS. Listen to the sounds that changed our lives forever. Listen to the sounds of Vietnam.
Napalm now! I need napalm now!
Listen to the sounds of Tour of Duty, the powerful new series that brings home the heartbreak, courage, and dedication that was Vietnam.
Mickey! We got Mickey! Come on, Johnson!
He's gone, man! We lost him!
Tour of Duty, Thursday at 8, 7 Central and Mountain on CBS television. Listen, there's something special in the air.
Adam, I need something different for my body.
Eve, there's nothing wrong with those fig leaves.
No, Adam, I mean a multivitamin. Within.
Within?
It's called Within, the multivitamin with the most calcium, plus extra iron and essential vitamins a woman needs within.
Well, Eve, some needs are different, but just remember your one basic need.
Adam, just remember, this is paradise, not fantasy land.
Within from One A Day, as different from other multivitamins as women are different from men.
There may have been a lot of losers on Wall Street today, but there are a couple of winners in the world. A plasterer and a secretary, Donald Woomer and Linda Despot, turned up with the winning Pennsylvania lottery ticket from last week. The jackpot, $46 million. Today they step forward to claim their first annual installment, $1,400,000. That's $1,400,000 a year after taxes. David Jackson, CBS News.
Wall Street suffers losses of historic proportions. Other world markets hit hard, too. It was the worst one-day Dow Jones loss ever, more than 508 points, volume 604 million shares. We'll tell you what it means for you. The complete story coming up next on Business Update.
Business Update is made possible by a grant from the American Public Radio Program Fund with support from the Capital Group, one of the nation's oldest and largest money management organizations. Capital Group companies provide investment management services throughout the world.
From CBS News, this is Business Update, a special edition, a record stock market plunge. Frank Settapani is on vacation. I'm Dick Reeves. It was panic selling on Wall Street today, sending the market over the edge in a plunge rivaling the great crash of 1929. With the ticker running far behind transactions and the numbers still coming in, the Dow Jones Industrial Average at the closing bell was down 508 points. It appears the Dow suffered the biggest percentage value in loss in stock market history. But the chairman of the New York Stock Exchange would not describe what happened today as a crash. A significant correction, John Phelan called it.
Whether today was a financial meltdown or not, it's certainly as good a one until one really comes along. So I wouldn't want to be around for one that's worse than this.
And advice from President Reagan.
I don't think anyone should panic because all the economic indicators are solid.
It was by far the heaviest trading in New York Stock Exchange history, 604 million shares. Here with us on this unique day is a regular contributor to Business Update, William Lefebvre, Senior Vice President and Market Strategist of the investment firm Advest. Bill, what happened?
Well, it was a precedent-setting decline. We've never seen anything like this before. Even the people, those old gray heads that were around in the 20s, never saw anything like this. It was a day of wholesale selling, both internationally and domestically. It was individual. It was everybody sold, the institutions, the individuals. It's the kind of a thing that I guess the worst fears came together all on one day and produced a 500-point shot or a half a trillion loss in market value in just one day.
And why?
I think it's a case of all of those things that we've been worrying about for years have come together and produced today a 500-point shot. We're 1,700 tonight on the Dow. 3.5 more days like this one, and we're down to zero. I don't think that's going to happen.
But what is going to happen?
I think you'll get some more selling in the morning, but I'm hopeful that at some point it's going to stabilize. Eventually, these things play themselves out. What we don't know is how long it's going to take.
And we're going to talk more with you a little bit later. John Schoen was on Wall Street today during the frenzy. Here's his report about what it was like.
Well, Dick, it was a typical Indian summer day in Lower Manhattan today, but for brokers on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, it was pandemonium. Wall Street was swamped with its heaviest day on record so far. As you said, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down over 500 points, and that was five times the previous record drop set on Friday. For brokers Michael Ritigliano and others at the exchange, the challenge was just to get through the day.
Today are days you try to survive. You don't try to outthink the market. You just try to survive the order flow because it's unrelentless. And you're just trying to make sure you can get the best price for your customer at that particular time. You have no idea where they're going afterwards.
At one point, the market rallied with the Dow Industrials recovering about 100 points of the loss. Many traders thought the worst was over, but by afternoon, the plunge continued. Much of the selling came from individual investors who've been heavy buyers of mutual funds during the bull market, but today they were selling heavily. That forced mutual fund managers to dump even more stock on the falling market. Bruce McAlpine is branch manager for Fidelity Investments' New York office. He said the volume of phone calls was 5 to 6 times heavy. Investors, who was a seller today, was Edith Sternberg.
I think I'm going to stick my money in the bank for a while. You know, it's hard-earned money, and I'm not one of the big investors, and I just don't want to lose any more than I have to, so I've panicked.
One broker I spoke with said he's continuing to advise his clients to sit tight. He believes the market is overreacting and will soon pull back to where it was before the decline. But today's sell-off puts the Dow Jones Industrials where they were over a year ago, and some market watchers think it could be a lot longer than that before it fully recovers. Dick?
The very latest figures available now on the tail of the tape, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 508.32 to close at 1738.41. The Transportation Index was down 164.78. The 15 utilities down 29.16. The 65 stock composite index was down 169.10. The New York Stock Exchange Index was down 30.79 to close at 128.34. The Standard & Poor's 500 Stock Index was down 57.64 to close at 225.06. The average share of Big Board Common was down $6.99 on turnover of 604 million shares. Declines led advances 1,981 to 40. The American Stock Exchange Index was down 41.05 to close at 282.50. The average share was down 1.81, Amex volume 35 million shares, the NASDAQ over-the-counter index down 46.12 to close at 360.21. Big losses among the most widely held blue chip issues included a 31.75-point decline for Big Blue IBM. Philip Morris fell 15.25, Merck dropped 33, Eastman Kodak fell 26.625, DuPont 18.5, Procter & Gamble lost 23.25. About the only glitter among the gloom in the market today was from stocks of companies which mine gold. Gold is seen as a safe haven in times of turmoil, and panicky investors flocked there today, sending share prices for many precious metals firms skyrocketing, along with the price of the bullion itself. Homestake Mining rose 5/8, ASA Limited up 1/8, and Callahan Mining up 2.25. As for the price of the metal itself, gold closed at $481.70 an ounce, up $10.10 from Friday's closing price. Other precious metals prices benefited from today's stock market and international turmoil. Silver closed at $8.19 an ounce, up 31 cents. Platinum finished today up $1.60 at $598.90 an ounce. And it was not only Wall Street USA, it was almost universal. The Wall Streets, or whatever they are called everywhere, crash, plunge, collapse time. Hong Kong, Frankfurt, Toronto, and two major sites of selling frenzy, London and Tokyo. We have two reports. First, Dan Raviv in London, then Jan Charlton in Tokyo.
With typical British understatement, the BBC summed up the financial scene.
It was as bad a day on the markets as there's ever been.
It sounded about normal on the trading floors of the big brokerage houses, which is where the buying and selling takes place now that computers have handled all the transactions for nearly a year. But the action was one-sided, selling into weakness, causing, of course, more weakness.
This doesn't happen every day. Thank God.
Graham Stradling, a director of the stockbrokers Kleinwort Greveson, pointing a finger of blame.
The Americans undoubtedly are the culprit in this. but it's going to have a fairly severe knock-on effect on us.
There seemed to be no end to the decline. A record fall at the close of 250 points on the main Financial Times Stock Exchange Index, representing a 10.8% fall. Somehow, to Michael Hughes, chief economist at Barclays Desote Wed, it didn't seem fair to the British.
We didn't have one of the most overvalued markets anyway. So a large part of this correction, possibly all this correction, is down to overseas influences, mainly American.
Because corporate profits do seem to be continuing to rise here in Britain and interest rates have always been high, many believe the London stock market will soon appear undervalued. But nobody's betting that the good news is coming soon. In recent years, Britain has become a nation of shareholders encouraged by Conservative Prime Minister Thatcher. But what they'll read in their newspapers in the morning is that the total value of stocks on the London Exchange fell by nearly $100 billion. Dan Revive, CBS News, London.
Japan's nervous investors are just waking up, bracing themselves for the second trading day of the week, wondering if Tuesday will be as bad as Monday when the market plunged here about 2%, the sixth worst plunge in its history. The reason, say analysts and traders alike, Tokyo markets reacted to Wall Street's precipitous drop last week. So what happens in the Tokyo markets on Tuesday will be determined by Wall Street's action on Monday. Some analysts here say that in spite of Tokyo's skid on Monday, Japanese investors don't really want to sell, and many won't until they gauge whether Wall Street is now facing another week of likely sharp declines. But if the Japanese decide to sell, said one broker, they'll sell based on the gut feeling that it's time to get their money working somewhere else. One positive factor, in spite of the stock market drop here, the dollar declined only 1 yen to end Monday's trading at 141.35. Some analysts believe that the critical number to watch is 140, a psychological barrier because it's believed to be the bottom agreed upon by major economic trading partners. If the dollar stays the course this week and stays above 140, goes the theory, it may be a signal that the big drop is what the traders hope it will be, a necessary correction to cool down an overheated market and a correction that will prove to be only temporary. Jan Charlton for CBS News, Tokyo.
Still to come on Business Update, a look at today's active issues on the American and New York stock exchanges, and we'll talk with a man who oversees the operations of one of the country's biggest exchanges about today's record-breaking trading activity. You're listening to Business Update. Business briefs, datelines in tonight's business news. London insurance company shares have fallen sharply because of expectations of huge damage claims after last Friday's big storms. Munich, the maker of Puma shoes and other sportswear, reports a loss of about 14 million marks in the first half of the year. Manila, the Philippine Economic Planning Secretary warns inflation will rise from 0.74% last year to 4.8% this year if a recommended minimum wage increase goes into effect. This is Business Update on the American Public Radio Network. Today's staggering stock market collapse has generated a flood of worry for investors, politicians, economists, all concerned about the future of the market and the economy. Peter Schachnow has tonight's cover story, Between a Rock and a Hard Place.
The stock market downturn may have been caused by a profound shift in the fortunes of the U.S. economy, or the fall in the market may cause a profound economic shift. The argument is a popular one among economists. The bottom line, however, is that the answer may not matter much. It's clear that no matter which came first, we've reached a significant milepost in our economic history. The main question is, why now? Today's economy is pretty much the same as the economy of 3 weeks ago or 2 months ago. Norman Robertson is chief economist for Pittsburgh's Mellon Bank.
The American economy is still performing very, very well. One has to conclude, therefore, that what has happened is a reflection of fears and anxieties that these good conditions are not going to continue for very much longer.
Robertson is pointing out a well-known economic component, psychology. The expectation of hard times ahead may be by itself enough to make it a self-fulfilling prophecy. David Weiss, chief financial economist at Data Resources in Lexington, Massachusetts, says it was the same sort of psychology, though in the opposite direction, that's led the economic upswing of the past few years.
The consumer has been holding up the economy for the last year, year and a half. And he's been doing so in large part because the consumer feels very rich. The value of his stocks has gone up this year. It's now gone back down. I think the consumer is going to get scared, and he's going to back away from future spending. The chance of a 1988 recession has clearly been increased.
That drastic shift may mean a noticeable downturn in the quality of life for many Americans. People who worry more spend less. They're less willing to make discretionary purchases that are taken into account when assessing the quality of life. And that spending cutback means lower profits for business and an economy that's decidedly weaker. The fears that have surfaced in a big way are America's twin deficits, the budget gap at home and the trade deficit with its partners abroad. Both deficits have been financed by a huge influx of foreign investment in the U.S. But if U.S. investments suddenly become less attractive, economist Norman Robertson says we could be heading for trouble.
There is great anxiety that foreigners will be increasingly reluctant to finance the deficit. Well, of course, if that happens, then our interest rates could literally go through the roof simply because we do not save enough in this country to finance both our deficit and investment in the private sector.
What's a government to do in a case like this? Many economic observers see the Federal Reserve moving to the forefront and continuing the anti-recessionary rather than anti-inflationary stance it's assumed in recent times. The Fed has chosen to shrink the trade deficit through a cheaper dollar, making U.S. goods less expensive to trading partners. It's hoping that will stimulate the economy without bringing inflation up. Will it work? Brian Fabry, who serves as both chief economist and investment strategist for Thompson McKinnon in New York, says it will only work if the world believes it will. And right now, the world doesn't believe it.
Can economies throughout the world sustain such high interest rate levels and sustain economic growth? And I think it's becoming more and more apparent that at least market participants no longer have the confidence in economic growth worldwide over the next 12 or 18 months that they did before.
It's tough to find optimists on days when the market is falling several hundred points at a clip, but Fabry offers at least one dim light in the tunnel, predicting the new attention on the markets and the economy will finally move the government to deal with those tough deficit problems that have actually been present for some time. That's of little comfort, of course, to investors who have seen their profits vaporize, and economist David Weiss admits there's little to be given.
The best advice would have been to sell 2 weeks ago.
Of course, that's advice that can't be followed, and what to do next is a question that's baffling everyone from novices to experts around the country. This is Peter Schachnow.
So it's been a day of colossal losses on Wall Street, the Dow closing down 508.32 to 1738.41 on volume of 604 million shares, a day that calls up memories of the crash of 1929. And here with us is William Lefebvre, Senior Vice President and Market Strategist at Advest. Well, how low can this go?
Dick, that's hard to say. The Dow closed tonight around 1,700, down 500 points. A flip answer would be it can only go 3.5 days like what we had today and be down to zero. Of course, that's unrealistic. I think what you're going to see is additional selling in the morning, Tuesday morning. At some point, the selling will run its course. I wish we knew when that would be.
You don't have a floor.
I picked all kinds of numbers. I thought 2,300 was it. Well, that disappeared on Friday. Here it is, 1,700. We're now about 100-plus points below where we were at year-end. We're now back to where we were a year ago in November after the Boesky confession. It's difficult to say where the bottom is. Keep in mind that in terms of the fundamentals, the market is much cheaper than it's been in years. But the problem is nobody right now is looking at the fundamentals. It's fear that's doing this. It's the fear that not only are they going lower, but there is no bottom. It's unbridled, unrealistic fear.
So all the roadmaps are obsolete tonight.
At the present time, I think that you can say that. Now, there will come a time when reason will reappear. When that will be is hard to say. But I think that, as one of our earlier pieces here tonight, there's going to be a time when the government's going to have to face up to the problems. And when you see that, you may see some improvement in stocks, but not until the present problems are addressed.